Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, the broken head, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. People dress in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, fight to fight to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this ties and tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4CBS is brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Jason Lockenfor of NFL Today will join us, NFL Insider, coming up here in about 13 minutes. At 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, John Harper. Harp is back from SNY TV in New York, our baseball insider. On a bench. Melvin Gordon's holdout with the Chargers is reportedly getting ugly, and now the team fully expects his holdout to last into the start of the regular season. Will Melvin Gordon play for the Chargers at all again? Bears coach Matt Nagy defended his obsession with the Bears kicking competition today. The Bears have tried out 9 kickers since Cody Parkey's missing the playoffs. Remember the double bar hit? It hit the upright and the crossbar, and they lost after going 12-4. Several of the tryouts have complained about how Nagy and the Bears have evaluated them. There's a lot of complaining going on about the kickers.
He says, like, they have these kickers line up taking, like, the same exact field goal that the guy missed in the playoff game. Like,
really?
And then there's other times they're having him take field goals with, like, absolute silence everywhere. Like, it's really bizarre. He's doing a lot of digging deep here for the new kicker.
Well, I mean, would you do the same thing, though, if you lost the way they lost?
Cost them the game, right?
Their whole season went down the drain with 1 minute.
But he is, like, absolutely obsessed over that missed kick the entire offseason. Could be good, could be bad.
Is it that hard to find a good kicker? Hire that Carly Lloyd.
It seems to be that hard now. That's something that maybe they should do.
We even had Ron Rivera in the first preseason game. They had, like, the same kind of kick lined up towards the end of the game, and he called the timeout kind of as a little gesture to help him out to kind of ice the kicker in those preseason.
Yeah.
Put the same kind of pressure on to see if, you know, the guy was worth it.
And another sign that the baseballs are juiced heading into today, players have hit 2 home runs in a game for 37 straight days. The previous high was 29 days last year. Do all the signs keep pointing to juiced baseballs? 855-212-4227. Longtime NHL player and executive Bill Guerin, who spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh, has been named the new general manager of the Minnesota Wild. How about that? Anyway, do you think, did you hear about this, like, Jay-Z, is it the Steelers that he's going to get a piece of? Is any of that true? Do you think any of that's legit? You've heard about him. He's going to get a piece of ownership in the NFL. We'll ask Jason Lockenfor.
Yeah, I know Jason wrote about it today.
He wrote about him?
Yeah, I believe he said he doesn't think it's going to happen, right?
Oh, all right. Well, we'll ask him. Former first-round pick Kevin White, released by the Cardinals, which cost the Bears a compensatory pick. Sounded like a bad day today in Bears land. Baker Mayfield reaches out to the Giants quarterback Daniel Jones to obviously apologize for that little snafu yesterday. That's what that was about, right? I mean, he backtracked so bad on that one, it's not even funny. But You know, of course, he blames the writer. Isn't that correct? That everything he said, he never said any of it.
That it happened 4 months ago. I don't even remember saying it.
Well, if he's
sitting at a restaurant.
But if he said he never said any of it, then why is he apologizing?
You know, it is what it is now. You said it.
Le'Veon Bell doesn't agree with Antonio Brown's handling of the helmet saga. They're saying now that he has documentation that shows that he was given approval to wear the helmet. Is that right? He said he's got paperwork that says he could roll with his helmet. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. The Lions signed our boy Snacks Harrison to a one-year $11 million deal. The Steelers looking to extend Joe Hayden. They said that's their priority. I think Hayden's a good player still. I mean, I don't know how long the deal that they're going to sign with him is or whatever, but I don't think that's the worst thing I've ever heard of. Hayden's pretty good still. The Eagles need Carson Wentz to stay on the field. Gee, you think? After all their problems. But they have McCown now, so what's to worry about? John Harbaugh says all the haters are going to be proven wrong on Lamar Jackson. Do you think he's right, or do you think Lamar Jackson can't throw the ball? Philip Rivers says on the greatest of all time debate about Tom Brady's not so sure he's the greatest of all time. He said, that's why I always think Marino's right there in the mix too. All these guys, you can't just go off Super Bowl wins. I don't think that you can do that in this sport, especially. I don't know, man. I don't care.
Team game, right?
Listen, I don't care how you get there, because everybody says they have this easy path all the time, that all they do is get the, you know, just the golden ticket right into the Super Bowl. You still got to win all those games and handle your business. And if you win six of them, I don't care what anybody says. He's the man. That's it. There's no discussion.
He was also pointing out, though, some of the wins that he has. Like, he pointed out that Seattle win, saying, you know, if they run the right play – we're talking about how he blew the game and how they, you know, when I put him in that conversation, all of a sudden the defense makes a play and we're saying, oh, well, he's the greatest quarterback ever because they won that fourth one, even though the play that won it wasn't him.
Yeah, that's fair enough, but he's got six of them and Rivers has none. There you go, right? So whatever.
Maybe that's why he grades it that way, because he knows otherwise he's nowhere near the conversation for greatest ever.
How do you think the NFL's offense will go this year league-wide? What do you think is going to be the big story? You tell me tonight, 855-212-4227. They also have this Brady over Montana choosing the NFL's greatest ever at each position, and they still, it would appear to me, they took Tom Brady. And then they have all these guys like Johnny Unitas, John Elway, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana. And Tom Brady was the choice. We'll do any position that you want right there. And how about this? 30 years ago, Sports Illustrated had Troy Aikman on the cover as the $11 million man. That's chum change now, right? And we got Harp tonight talking about the Yankees' Aaron Judge. What's the problem? Maybe he's back, Judge. He had a bomb last night, right? Everybody's been saying his bat's nothing. We'll talk about the home run pace. Can Yelich go 50-30? That's a huge story, right? He's at 41-24 now. It hasn't happened, right? 50-30? 50 homers, 30 stolen bases? That's pretty impressive if he does it.
Yeah, I know there was a couple of 40-40s, right?
40-40s, yeah, but no 50-30, I guess. Baseball says over-the-counter sexual enhancement pills can create positive PED tests. Run for your life. Clayton Kershaw is back, and a lot of people think with him as good as he looks right now that the Dodgers are invincible. Do you believe that? Chris Archer, you remember him? He's with the Pirates, and he's been a disaster. 6-12 in 32 prior starts, and they lost 20 of those outings. He's now injured. What a nightmare that's been for the Pirates, right? They gave up three top prospects to get him, and he's been trash. Johnny Cueto, minor league rehab starts away from coming back to join the Giants. Can he make a difference in September and get them in a wild card? Popovich is worried about the Aussies for the FIBA team. We'll talk about the NBA's most overrated and underrated teams. Did you see Kawhi was giving out millions They gave out 1 million backpacks to kids in L.A. That's cool. Wilt Chamberlain would have been 83 today. He had a nice career, right? 7-time scoring champ, 4-time MVP, 2-time champ, Hall of Famer, 13-time All-Star. Wilt had a lot of action in the bedroom, too, apparently. Very active. And then what else? Your Islanders got Derek Brassard, a signing. He played with the Penguins, I think, a lot last year, didn't he? And then we'll talk more. XFL teams were named. Kovalev is fighting on Saturday. The Crusher, Sergei Kovalev, the Tour Championship. All of this is happening tonight on the bench. 855-212-4227. Jason Lockenfor is next.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4CBS to get on the bench. Jason Lockenfor is on the CBS NFL Today. The NFL Insider joins us on the Mahogany to Wax Up tonight. How you doing, Jason?
What's going on, Scotty?
Hey, so I saw your article today about Jay-Z and about A.B. and about Zeke.
Yeah.
Let's kind of go through this. All right, so what was your feeling about what Jay-Z pulled off with Roger Goodell and the backlash that he got, frankly, from doing it?
Right.
And then there was the word that he might, like, buy a piece of the Steelers or something. You're saying none of that's happening.
Well, like, I don't know what the end game is of his, you know, his allegiance with the NFL, and I hope it is for the betterment of society and social justice and reform of a lot of our government statutes where you have these mandatory minimum sentencing that doesn't make much sense when it comes to whether this is actually a violent crime or, you know, somebody just happens to have a little bit of contraband in their pocket. And so I'm rooting for all of this. But, like, in terms of what it means, Scotty, for NFL ownership purposes and who's in control and who has a minimum share and who has the controlling share, it has nothing to do with any of that. I mean, there are no stipulations in this deal whatsoever from everybody I've talked to. In terms of what Jay-Z can get in terms of his hands on a franchise and his hands on a piece of a franchise or a little sliver of a franchise, it's just not a part of this. This is about he and the NFL addressing the multitude of issues in our country that deal with social injustice and that deal with criminal justice reform. And that's that, but he's not going to own an NFL team because of this.
So what did you think of the backlash that he got from people? Like a lot of Eric Reed, all these people, Kaepernick, and a lot of people turned on him.
Well, I mean, I don't know about a lot of – I mean, I can't sit here and say that, like, I've monitored the situation and I know where, like, the average American stands on this issue. In terms of Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed, they obviously have issues with how Jay-Z has handled himself, how he's presented himself, how he has presented this deal and what this deal actually amounts to America. And I don't think they're backing off and they feel slighted and they feel like they have been sort of undone or undermined by what Jay-Z has agreed to with the NFL. What that means, excuse me, what that means for the average football fan or what that means for, you know, the average hip hop fan or what that means for anybody, that's difficult to say because, like, at this point, right, everybody is bringing their own sort of mental purview into this situation, right? Everybody has their own feelings. Everybody has their own political allegiances. Everybody has their own sort of internal sense of what's right and what's wrong, their own morality. And I mean, I can't sit here and say that I can speak for America, right? Because you can't speak for America, because nobody can speak for America, because America is so sort of splintered and is so all over the place when it comes to the average political issue, much less these issues in football that bleed over into politics. And so, I mean, you know, everybody's got to make their own determination when they put their head down at the end of the night about who they support and who they don't support and where their politics lie. And I've got news for you. You can't separate every single thing that happens on a football field from every single thing that happens at the ballot box, because they are kind of intertwined.
Do you think, Jason Logan forward with us, do you think that Brown has any leg to stand on in this second grievance?
Oh, not much. I mean, the reality there, Scotty, is he's going to find a new helmet that he's kind of taken a shine to and that he feels like is A-okay before we ever even find out the results of this second grievance. And that's really, like, that's the end game, right? We want him to feel comfortable wearing headgear that doesn't feel too heavy, that doesn't feel too cumbersome, that doesn't cut off his peripheral vision. And there, it's not like they only have 3 or 5 or 9 helmets at their avail, right? They have, like, 36 different helmet designs that have all been approved. And so you just have to find one that kind of, you know, meshes with you, and you jive with it, and it jives with you. So to me, this has always been much ado about nothing. Like, there's no way Antonio Brown is ending his Hall of Fame career because, like, the helmet doesn't feel right, and I'm just going to take my ball and go home. I mean, it's crazy talk, but there's a lot of people in the media who would like to sell you crazy talk all the time, because it's good for their ratings and it's good for their Twitter clicks and it's good for everything else. But, like, sometimes common sense kind of sort of prevails, and common sense was always going to prevail in this instance.
So, Zeke, you're saying you feel the deal will be done so he's ready to go against the Giants Week 1?
Yes, I do. How many snaps they give him, how many reps they give him, you know, how Jerry and Stephen Jones handle that, I'm not going to tell you that I know that, but I do believe that that deal is signed, sealed, delivered. It's done. It's consummated by Wednesday or Thursday of the week leading into Week 1.
But what about Melvin Gordon's situation now?
Scotty, I think that one gets done too. Maybe he sits out a week or two, but it won't be much more than that. And they'll be okay without him in the short term. And if he does even sit out a little while, I don't think it'll be much more than a little while, because it's diminishing returns for him in terms of his leverage, in terms of his clout, you know, in terms of his ability to flex his muscles and sort of make the franchise quiver. That's just not really where it's at, especially with running backs in this league right now. So that's another one where we can obsess about, you know, this or that, and I'm going to worry about Week 1 or Week 2 or Week 3. I really feel like Melvin Gordon is playing for the Chargers at some point in September.
John Harbaugh said that everybody, all the haters, are going to be proven wrong on Lamar Jackson, and they're going to be eating their words. You're down in the Charm City. Do you believe that he'll turn into a rock star quarterback? We already know he can run the ball like a wizard, but about throwing it is the question. Do you think that John Harbaugh is right, or that people are right about him, that he can't throw it?
I don't know if they're going to reinvent the wheel when it comes to offense and the ability to throw the ball downfield. Like, I don't know that they're going to set everybody on their ear and just be doing all this. Like, they're talking about having this, you know, offense of a lifetime and a generational offense and, you know, nobody will be able to keep up. I don't know about all that. But Lamar Jackson's going to be a winning quarterback. He already is a winning quarterback. And he's going to be highly successful, and he is going to develop at, I believe, a rapid rate. And he's going to blow away anything he did a year ago. And my concerns with the Ravens, and I think the Ravens are a playoff team, but my concerns with the Ravens are much more about their pass rush than it is about anything involving their skill position players on offense, starting with Lamar Jackson.
Last question I have for you, Jason, sorry about that, is about Matt Nagy's situation in Chicago with this kicking problem. Just a bunch of hot air, or is this a real problem?
No, he's got a problem. And the expectations are ratcheted up probably way more than they should be. And they won more games last year than they probably should have, but they did. And I think he's got a quarterback problem. I think he's got a kicking problem. I think he's got an expectations problem. And I think he's got a Vic Fangio no longer in the building problem. And I think the Bears are the absolute poster boys for regression in the NFL in 2019.
Wow. Listen to Jason LaCanfora dropping it. Like, I mean, just drop kicking the Bears. I love it. Jason, killer stuff tonight. I can't wait for the NFL season to start. I'm in honor of that. I'm going to Vegas this weekend for all of next week. I'm doing the first week of college football shows from Vegas next week. And then I'll come home on the first and be ready for the 5th and 8th and all the NFL pain day action I can handle. We'll be talking to you again all throughout the season. Thanks for coming on the bench.
My pleasure, brother. Enjoy Vegas.
All right, Jason LaCanfora, our buddy from the NFL today.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Can you even believe it? That college football starts this Saturday. Canes, Gators, Arizona, Hawaii. It's all happening. PharrellOnTheBench.com is where you got to be all season long, every game, every day, every play. College football and pros, nobody does better than Pharrell on the Bench. Baseball, through the World Series, boxing, MMA, every big fight. PharrellOnTheBench.com, the best picks, the best price, buck a day. Sign PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. 855-212-4227. The Mets just won on a walk-off single. They had two on, and they won in the bottom of the 10th over the Indians.
J.D. Davis with a long at-bat there. Battles finally gets a pitch he can put into left field and gets him the win.
There you go.
Down one. They were down one coming into that inning after Santana hit a home run at the top of the inning.
So they scored two in the 10th?
They scored two, yeah. Conforto grounded out and brought one in after Rosario led the inning off with a hit, and they kept moving him over. And then they just had the hit from Davis to bring Conforto went from second.
Yeah, I could hear the newsroom exploding through the soundproof studio doors. It's so loud out there with these homers. They go crazy every time the Mets win.
Met fans excited right now.
Have you ever seen – you know, it's funny. They don't do that. You don't see that in here with the Yankees, do you? It's weird.
Well, it's
because they're so used to winning.
So used to it. And none of these games matter now until October 4th. I mean, that's when – that's when it's on. I mean, this is all
a waste of time.
You know, obviously, the Yankees are playing for home field, which you want, because as we saw a couple of years ago when they played the Astros in the ALCS, I mean, the home team, it was a dominant home series. So, you know, home field would be big for the Yankees. But still, the games, like, they're just kind of, you're just trying to get to October. Right
going
now.
Through the motions.
Like,
they're
it
winning.
It matters, but it does, you know, it's hard to get into it.
So Haps pitching tonight in Oakland, where they don't play well. They're up 1-0.
They'll win one game here in Oakland. Whether
well, there's Davis hitting a home run. Now it's 2-1.
Haps
A's. Huh?
Haps been awful.
I mean, he just gives it up. He just serves it up. Chris Davis just jacked one into the seats and right. You know, they're a playoff team, too.
They're playing well right now. They tied the Rays last night, right, for the second wild card?
Yeah, I mean, they are. It is unbelievable to me that they, every year with Melvin, they're in it. And then, they have nobody goes to the games, right? Now, they have a decent crowd tonight because the Yankees are in there, but nobody goes to their games. You see their upper bowl, it's completely empty every night. They got nothing there. It's the worst. It's not as bad as Tampa. It's not as bad as Miami, but it's bad, right? Like, you don't think? Because remember when we talked about on the show, we've done these shows where we talked about baseball's massive decline in attendance.
Right.
That nobody's going to these games. At, like, league-wide, it's a problem. except in, you know, we said before, it's not a problem at Yankee Stadium, Boston, the Cubs, the Dodgers.
There's plenty of places where it isn't an issue. But
Cardinals.
And that's one of the things that, you know, we didn't really bring this up much when we talked about it. One of the things that really also makes that number what it is, the declining attendance,
right,
is that it's so bad in the places that it's bad.
Right.
That it makes the number, even though you have
it's
places
bloated.
Like Yankees and even the Mets have been, the last couple of weeks, have had some full crowds, and obviously Sox and Cubs are always full, Dodgers, etc. But the numbers for the Rays and the Marlins and the Pirates,
right,
and the A's and all these teams are so low.
Even, it doesn't matter, all of them.
That the sellouts at
Reds,
the other places, it just continues to,
Jays,
to move it on down.
Padres.
Look at how many awful teams there are in baseball this year. Look at the American League alone.
Baltimore,
so many
Kansas
bad
City.
Teams. Seattle, nobody, Toronto, the White Sox, Detroit.
Detroit, nobody goes.
It's just awful this year.
What did you think of, now this is interesting. I'll take your calls. Chill out. I'll get you on. Two big Astro bets tonight at the MGM. Did you see this?
Oh, well, and this is this right here. I know where you're going. This is why it is so difficult to bet baseball day in, day out, because
you'd lose your shirt.
Something like tonight happens.
So they were -550at MGM to win, -550, the Astros with Verlander over the Tigers. Here's another one, -575 it got up to. How about this? MGM had it up to 600, -600, and then -600 at FanDuel in New Jersey. And guess what happened? Two hits in the game by the Tigers, both of them home runs. They won 2-1, and everybody lost. $55,000 a guy bet to win $10,000. He lost 55 large. And then a guy bet $63,520 on him to win $11,000. He lost. He lost to 63.
Verlander goes the whole nine, gives up two hits, 11 Ks.
Can you imagine walking up to the window and betting $55,000 or $63,000 and you see your team lose on two hits and two home runs, and then you go, you literally, what do? Go kill yourself? I mean, honestly, because 60, you got to be so rich. That 63 grand means nothing to you.
The 63 grand was to win 11?
To win 11. The 55 was to win 10. And then they
and now on the other side of the coin, if you had the Tigers tonight at plus 485, plus 485 the Tigers tonight.
So it's really good.
There are people that just bet dogs in baseball every day because it's such a, you know, because of the pitcher, it changes so much every
right.
day. And you could sit there and just bet dogs every day, and, you know, they do pretty well at it. They pick their favorite, you know, the two or three
there
dogs
was a,
they like the most.
I mean, there was a lot of people talking about it, right? The, you know, the here's one guy said, idiots. People that bet. Here's another one, Pharrell and idiots, and they laugh that they lost. People laugh. Here's one, people are literally idiots.
Like, there's one or two ways, like, that bet is going. Like, if you're walking up to the window with 63 grand, right, to put on the Astros tonight
right.
to win 11,
right.
there's either one or two things going on. Either A, you bet so much that for that better, that 63 grand is, you know, like me going and putting 100 at the window. You know, they have so much money, they're probably a millionaire, that the 63 grand
means nothing.
Means nothing. Or on the other side of the spectrum, the absolute other side of the spectrum, you have a guy who's probably like, I'm trying to get my stack a little higher. I got 60 grand here. I can easily, because the Astros, they're not losing to the Tigers at home with Verlander on the bump. I could take my 60 grand, and by the end of the night, I'm rolling now with 72. And, you know, my stack's a little bit bigger. And now he's got no stack left.
No stack. Now
so,
he's got problems.
Now he's got no stack.
Now
so,
he's got September screwed.
So which do you think what, that, which
how
do you think
lose that
guy
money?
Was tonight? One or the other?
I don't see how you lose 63 grand and not have pain. You know, like some kind of bloodletting. There's got to be a fallout from that. Divorce, something. How do you explain that? I just lost 63 grand in 5 minutes. I mean, honestly.
But guys do it all over the casino on a nightly basis.
They do, and that's...
if you're a heavy hitter.
I guess that's why they play the games.
If you're a heavy hitter.
A sharp or a heavy. Can you imagine? You knew it. I knew. And, you know, I just knew when I saw that number. You know, it's the same thing as that I always go back to the Bills game with the Vikings. When I saw 16, I had to take it. I'm just like, you just got to bet it. Like, when you see plus, you know, minus 600 on a game, you just got to go the other way, don't you? I mean, I saw 50 people put down, you know, $10, $20, $100 on them at those odds. What'd you say it was, plus 485?
Yeah, if you took the Tigers on the money line tonight, it was plus 485 at most places.
I mean, my God. You know what I mean? So what, $48 for every 10 you put down? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Something like that.
Yeah, 40, yeah, exactly.
That's crazy. Bob in Knoxville, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Guy, you guys are reminding me of the one time I went to a casino. It was on an Indian reservation in Wisconsin. I had $200 in my pocket. I lost it in 10 minutes playing blackjack. The chick I was with left me. And then I got pulled over by a cop who said I'd been drinking too much, which I probably had. And then it was like, and he's going, look, dude, he said, I got one of two choices. I could take you with me to jail right now, or you can cross that bridge and be in Minnesota and you're not my problem anymore.
He let you go?
Yeah, he still was. He sat and watched me cross the bridge.
So then you were no longer his problem.
I was no longer his problem. I was the Minnesota cop's problem. But my problem was, I don't know if you've ever been to the casinos up in near the Fishbowl in Wisconsin. You leave the reservation, there's nothing open. The only reason he pulled me over to begin with is because I pulled into this hotel. They closed the hotels at 8 o'clock at night.
Well, I mean,
I couldn't find any place to sleep.
I've certainly been in my fair share of casinos on the Res and wherever, and Indian Land and the, you know, Miccosukee, the Seminole. I've been on all those. I've been in, you know, the Fantasy Springs out in Indio. That's another one that's involved with the Indians, and I've been to a million of those casinos. What'd you want to say about the Vols?
Oh. We got a linebacker. We got a freshman linebacker that people are starting to whisper about down here. And we actually didn't have a decent we actually had a decent, you know, set of linebackers. We don't have a decent set a whole lot. We're mostly living on hope. But there's some whispers that this kid might be something special. And that he's going to he's got a real funny name. It's almost a Hawaiian sounding name. But they said he's got a real nose for the ball, and I'm wondering how good BYU is. I mean, do we have a chance against BYU?
I know that they play Georgia State their first game, and then the BYU game. You know, obviously, I think they can beat BYU in Nashville or, you know, in Knoxville. Excuse me. I think that you know, I don't know the kid you're talking about, and I don't feel like. Anyone in that conference has a shot against Alabama. How's that for an answer? It's like, I feel like your entire season is just so everyone can go to the games and drink beer and meet chicks, right? Like the college kids. You go, you party, you try to get some leg. There you go. Because your football team's not going anywhere, right? Are they? I mean, is that about the gist of it? Is anyone afraid of Tennessee these days? I mean, let's just be real here. No one is. I'd love to see Tennessee be good in football again. It's been far too long, I think. They used to always matter, in my view. They were always good, right? Like, you always knew that when you went to Knoxville, you had your problems. And that was a great Neyland Stadium, rocks, great atmosphere, huge crowd. It's a tough place to play. It's really not that difficult anymore to go there and beat them, right? It's not that big of a deal. So... yeah, I'll have to keep my eyes out for this linebacker that everybody's so excited about down in Knoxville with the Vols. We'll see what Pruitt can do with the Vols this year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.